This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
And now for our interviews, we're going to go a decade back in time and take a look at the Jodcast through the ages. And we begin with our hallowed ancestors. At the very dawn of the Jodcast, as Megan Argo interviews Drs. David Ault and Stuart Lowe about the early days of the show.
Tell everybody what you had for breakfast, guys. Start the interview.
Not very much, really. Even less than Francis Graham Smith had at the last Jodcast Live.
Sorry.
Which was what, for those of us that haven't listened?
He wasn't quite sure, but I think he decided in the end he had a piece of toast. Correctly.
Okay.
That's what all Astronomer Royals eat for breakfast.
Right. Okay.
And I think I should probably point out that I'm not actually a doctor. I am. I travel in the TARDIS in audio.
A different type of doctor.
But that's a different type of doctor. So thank you very much for the promotion.
So, yes, it's a bit bizarre being back in the same, studio as these two. We started, 10 years ago doing the Jodcast.
Yes. Thank you very much for that introduction, making it sound like we're incredible.
We do all have grey hairs to varying degrees.
Well, I don't have as much hair now. This was partly down to the job.
But we also have a video message from one of the other founders of the Jodcast, who sadly couldn't be here with us today because it's a bit of a trip from New Zealand and we don't quite have that kind of budget. So can we play the video message from Nick Rattenbury?
Dr. Nick Rattenbury.
Hello and happy birthday to the Jodcast. I can't believe that it has been 10 years since Dave, Stuart and I sat down to discuss how we could produce a podcast from Jodrell Bank Observatory. I'm delighted that the Jodcast is stronger than ever. The team there doing fantastic work, all those interviews and all the editing. It's brilliant to continue what's a fantastic tradition now at Jodrell Bank. And thank you also to our audience, both long-term and new people who are listening to the Jodcast now. Hello to all of you. I hope you're enjoying the Jodcast as much as I am. And thank you also to the University of Manchester and the Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics for continuing to support the Jodcast. Everybody, happy birthday to the Jodcast. I look forward to hearing more from the Jodcast over the next 10 years and even longer. Jod on.
Cool.
The picture of Jodrell Bank, I did, and we gave it to him when he left.
And I made every episode he'd been on poster for him when he left as well.
Much bigger.
It's a special The Jodcast Nick Rattenbury episode.
Well, that's a voice we haven't heard for quite a while. Mm, yeah. So, early days of the Jodcast. So, remind us how it started.
How it started? Well, I've been talking to Dave about this, actually, earlier on. It started with... I was getting near the end of my PhD, and I thought it would be nice to do a podcast, and I didn't talk to anyone about that. But then one day, this was just after the end of my PhD. No, actually, it was still just before. That's why I was slightly deranged, I think, getting ready to hand in my thesis.
A little bit stressful for those of you that haven't done a PhD. Yeah. Not good for the brain cells.
And I had done an Ask an Astronomer session out at the Visitor Centre here at Jodrell, and Nick had been involved in that as well. And we were talking in the corridor with someone who shouldn't be named nameless, Paddy Leahy, Dr. Paddy Leahy from Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics, who was a bit curmudgeonly and told us that we were wasting our time because we were only talking to about 50 people. And we said, well, how many people would be a good amount of people to talk to? And I think he just picked a number out of the air and he said 1,000. So we set that as the Paddy threshold, because that's what he told us we would require. And Nick said, well, there's these things called podcasts that people are doing and perhaps we should do one of those. And I said, well, I've been thinking about that as well. So I'm definitely up for doing that. And then we went through into the room where I worked, and we were continuing talking about that, and Tim O'Brien came in the door. I'm not sure why, if he was just joking with us or if he didn't really hear us, but we said, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to try and do a podcast. And he said, well, a Jodcast? And we said, no, but that's the name for it. So that's our origin myth, apart from the fact that a week later, so Dave had gone off at this point to do other things, but a week later, out of the blue, Dave just emailed and said, so have you all thought of doing a podcast about astronomy?
I don't actually remember this.
It'll be in all my emails somewhere.
Yeah. But,
so basically, everyone independently came up with the same idea to do a podcast. And it just had to happen.
And it went from there. And I believe we also have a clip from the very first Jogcast episode. This is your life in Jogcast.
I'm Stuart Lowe, and this is the Jogcast, a podcast about astronomy by astronomers at the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Observatory. Each month or so, we'll tell you some of the latest things happening in astronomy. We'll also tell you what you can see in the night and sometimes the daytime skies. And we'll be interviewing any astronomer that happens to be passing by, or those that aren't screening their calls.
You'll notice that that's the night sky, Ian's music there, because we hadn't quite got ourselves sorted at that point.
No, I just... When we'd got all of the audio for the first episode, we'd recorded it in one of the rooms in Jodrell, and I took the audio back home to Birmingham, and then I was just trying to... I thought, we need a theme tune for this, and so I was sort of going through all of my free music CDs... The sort of CDs where you pay once and then you can use royalty free. That's the words I wanted. Royalty free music CDs. And it's like, what sounds like a sort of slightly quirky, astronomy podcasty kind of music? And having listened to all of it, I just went with the stuff that we have now.
So every now and then we talk about changing the music, and we have a veritable riot on what the forum used to be. So can we have a show of hands? Who likes the theme music?
That's nobody for people at home.
Who hates it? Cool, well, that's fairly
good. Who hates it but won't admit to
it? We like it, that's why we keep it. Cool,
I think,
well,
yeah, music is always a bit controversial anyway, people change the music on things. Mm. I'm sure if the Sky at Night ever changed, is it Sibelius or something?
In Sibelius, it's not happening.
So one thing I noticed in that first intro there is you say every month or so, which was nicely covered for the fact that we weren't always quite at the start of the month.
And also that we didn't know if we'd be able to make a monthly podcast or not.
Yeah, and it worked out quite well.
It did, and then listener demand. I don't know why we ever constantly did what listeners demanded, because it just meant more work for us. But we ended up doing the twice monthly shows.
Yeah, we don't have feedback forms for you today, right? So if you want to leave us suggestions, that's fine, but we don't actually have feedback forms. Maybe we should have done.
Well, we did do some surveys at some point in the past. I don't know if they've been done since. Just to find out about you all, so we could send, not, well, we didn't send anyone spam ever.
So what's been your favourite memories of actually doing the Jogcast over the years? Because you've both been involved at some level for quite a long time.
Yes, I think I was I've been the person that has had very little connection with Jodrell,
You still do the panto every year.
I still do
the panto. This is the man responsible for the panto scripts every year.
I do apologise this year. Charlie made me do it. Blaming him. I think the last Jodcast Live was... I really enjoyed that. Because I wasn't a sort of a professional astronomer, really, I that's why I decided to do the intro-outros, because I could act, I could do that, I couldn't necessarily talk about astronomy, but so that's why I did those, and I've got some favourite ones, but...
Go on, tell us.
Oh, God. the Torchwood outro was my favourite, where it was aliens invading Jodrell Bank. I enjoyed that one. And
what I was always impressed by is that we could get fairly senior people to just record ridiculous lines for us.
Yes.
There's actually the controller of Jodrell Bank at the time, he recorded some lines. And people from the visitor centre recorded lines. We had all sorts of people.
And then it was all got smashed together. It's great. I think my favourite memory is probably Jodcast Live, definitely. And I'm hoping to make a new wonderful memory today.
Well, I'm happy to be here this time, because I was in Australia for the last Jodcast Live, so I was supposed to be a floating head on a screen, like Holly from Red Dwarf, but I think we ran out of screen space on the wall, and I ended up being a disembodied voice. So, yeah, it's nice to actually be here physically. It's kind of cool, after doing the news remotely for so many years. So what was your favourite memory, Stuart, from your...
My favourite episode of the Jodcast in making it was the April Fool's edition in 2010. Just because I decided to go slightly crazy and went back in time and pretended we had a podcast in 1990.
Recording on a podcast,
because it was recorded on tape and sent out. And it turns out cassette tapes don't last that long very long. So it was a good job that we recorded with our standard Jodcast kit, because we had to use that and then overlay tape effects from the cassette tape on top of it. Because otherwise you would have been banging your head against the table trying to listen to this audio quality. It was terrible. I mean, people complained about our audio quality early on in the Jodcast, but it was nothing as bad as recording on a 20-year-old cassette tape. But it was just, that episode was fun because it was 20 years since Hubble had launched, and new things were happening with Hubble, and it was just, and then Kobe had been launched and we were on Planck. Everything just felt nicely 20 years. Things had progressed quite a bit in various fields, so it was nice to see what we thought of the world, or the universe rather, 20 years ago, and how that had changed or stayed the same.
Well, there's been quite a lot of changes in astronomy over the 10 years since we started the Jodcast, right? Mm-hmm. Seen a lot of quite important discoveries and things happen, even in the last few weeks.
Yes, gravitational waves, of course. And hopefully someone might ask us a question in Ask an Astronomer about gravitational waves.
I should say Planck as well, because I worked on Planck, so the cosmic microwave background, we've got even better measurements than we had 10 years ago, far better.
The maps are pretty beautiful. Yeah.
Even if I say so. I'm very pleased. I've got an umbrella with the Planck sky on the inside of the umbrella. That's probably my... I worked for a few years on Planck, that's what I got. That was the happiest thing. Just can hold it up and pretend that you're looking at the microwave.
I spent 10 years working on this telescope and all I got was this crummy umbrella.
It's not crummy, it's fantastic.
And you're still wearing a Jodcast t-shirt as well. Yours doesn't look like it's 10 years old, I have
to say.
No,
this is from fairly alone. It's definitely before Jodcast Live. Last Jodcast Live.
Right, okay.
I also have one of the only two Jodcast hoodies exclusive. Jen has the other one.
I'm going to point out there are actually three because I had to hand make one. I made a stencil and stenciled the Jodcast logo onto the back of a hoodie 1 year for NAMM before my official one turned up.
Very good. So there are three. Stand corrected. But also I should just add one thing. Chris Lintott actually appeared on that episode in 1990 because he wrote a letter in. we wrote the letter for him, but he did say that we could write a letter on his behalf. He didn't know what we were going to write. But that was about exoplanets. I mean, exoplanets is a big thing that's changed since 1990. Mm. I mean, even in the last 10 years of the Jodcast, the number of exoplanets has just gone through the roof.
So do you still listen to the Jodcast? Big question. I'm going to put you on the spot now. Do you still listen?
People used to come up to me, Jodcast listeners, and say, oh, it's ages since I've listened to the Jodcast, I'm very sorry. And I found myself getting into that myself and coming up to the current Jodcasters and saying, oh, I'm really sorry, I've not listened to it for a while. But I have actually been listening to the last, I don't know, six or so quite regularly.
Is that because of Jodcast Live?
Partly. checking up on what everyone's up to. But it was partly because I didn't want to feel that I was going to start saying, oh, no, you should be doing it this way. I definitely didn't want to be one of those people coming back and saying, oh, you're doing it all wrong.
I must admit that I have fallen out of regular listening. But I listen to the Pantos.
Of course. I would hope so. See how far we butchered your script.
The script was already butchered anyway. I realised that when it was actually... When I was actually doing it, yes.
So how do you think the current Jodcast team are doing in their...
Don't ask that.
I have to ask that question, come on.
I think they're doing very well.
They are, yes. I mean,
this is a lot more professional than I remember the first Jodcast
life. They had a rehearsal.
there's proper chairs set out, and the tables all got University of Manchester logos on it.
Branding,
back.
Yeah.
That's making it sound like we made everyone stand up at the last
Jodcast.
Apparently you had some really comfy chairs at the last Jodcast.
We did, and these are pretty good.
Well, this is because the furniture in the tea room has changed, so we had to go with what's in the tea room. See, the high back chairs that made it look like an old folks' home have now gone, so some people will be pleased to hear.
Because the Jodcast has been recorded in some very interesting locations, such as Jen and I on a bed in America, and we've done
me on a bed in a travel lodge near Preston.
We've done it on outside in Milan as well, as in the Jodcast.
Just to clarify.
Yeah.
This is a family show, remember?
Yes, yes. Jen and I have recorded a Jodcast outside in Milan.
And we've had some outside broadcast type interviews. I think, didn't we interview Tim once on the top of a mountain in Chile? I vaguely remember that we did that.
Quite possibly.
I remember.
Did you have a much bigger budget back then?
So the Jodcast has never really had much of a budget, so we've always had to make do with what exists. So Tim happened to be on an observing trip, and we just Skyped him and said, Tim, let's talk to you about what you're doing, because it makes it seem a bit more exciting than just talking to someone in the tiny little studio in Manchester.
Mm-hmm. The studio is possibly a slightly grander term for it.
Yeah, none of you really want to see it. It's literally a space behind a screen in a lecture theatre that is actually for storing chairs. And we got turfed out of various rooms in Manchester and eventually realised that that didn't have a number on it because it was just a random space. So no one was going to turf us out of it. So that's how we ended up in that little studio.
Yeah, we moved the chairs, installed some partitions and a piece of carpet on the table and a duvet on the wall. It's top quality. But it works.
Yeah, it's very professional. I only saw it once as well. I only managed to get to Manchester. I don't think so. Because I never went to Manchester. I was always stuck in Birmingham. Yeah. So I never, for the 5 years I presented the Jodcast, I never actually saw a Jodcast studio.
Well, sometime you should come and visit, both of you. You should come to Manchester and we should record in the studio properly.
We can all fit in. We'll get a Jodcast live from the studio, that'll be fun.
That would be interesting.
You'll have to be very, very cosy.
Thanks very much, guys.